Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes, and with me today is the godfather of golf, Peter Donahue, and Chris Olerking.
Andy, always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Today is our Donahue Cup special podcast. Last Saturday, November 3rd, the Golf Practice hosted its second ever Donahue Cup, named after our founder, Peter Donahue. You really got a lot of names here. You're the godfather of golf. You got the Donahue Cup named after you. It's really an honor to be here in your presence. And I'm sure all of our listeners feel honored that you're speaking to them. This is my first year working at the Golf Practice. I hadn't heard much about it before now. Can you talk a little bit about where this tournament came from, what it means, and kind of what the format is?
So we started a fall tournament. It used to be called a Fall Cup, which was done about 7 or 8 years ago. And the idea was to get our kids a competitive experience in the fall-like conditions, which would be similar to the state tournament that the high school players are playing. And so, but last year we changed the concept of the tournament, kept it at the same time of year so they would have that experience. But we thought it would be cool to bring our up-and-coming youngsters who have a strong interest in the game and pair them up with our more competitive, experienced high school players and pair them up based on, you know, the town they're from. And so these young kids would be going to the same high school that the players that they're playing with would. So it's a fun 9-hole team event. Last year was really successful. In this year as well, it's great to have the parents come out after and listen to our presentation and our program, and I know we'll get into that.
Yeah, I love it. I love the way Chris has evolved it. I mean, I'm a little self-conscious about the name. It's sort of like in memory of Donahue.
Paying homage. Well,
since my memory is disappearing, maybe that's appropriate. Well,
maybe it's reminding people that you're still with us.
Yes. Well, I love it. I love the way that Chris twisted the event to be that of the kids that are going to be, you know, on the same high school team. That doesn't always exist, but on the teams, but it's a great feeling of camaraderie, and the scramble format is a terrific format. I enjoyed being out on the course with the teams and watching them strategize together, and watching them when, let's say, one of the younger kids' drives were chosen to be used, and you could see the enthusiasm on their faces that they could be a contributing, you know, part of a team with people who can really play. It's just the whole thing was fun, and you could see the looks on all their faces, you know, that they were having a great time, despite the fact that it was a chilly day. But even the team that I came up on, a team that was had a hole or two to go, and they were giving it their all. But as one of the girls, Emmy, described to me, we are a hot mess. Started 2 under and now we're even. But even at that, you know, they're still in the game, and you know, everybody is having a chance to contribute, and you know, it was wonderful.
The winning team was from Lake Forest, and that Danny Fisher, who's been on this podcast before, Jack, who's a seventh grader, and Gianna, who she's a sophomore in high school. Yeah. And it's what struck me, what you were just saying, Peter, about how everyone was so pumped up to be able to contribute to their team. I can't think of any event in any other sport where you can have a seventh grader, a D1 golfer, and a girl all contribute to the same team and actually be valuable to that team.
No, it was. I couldn't agree more. It's a unique sport, and the event really brings all of that out, as you just beautifully described.
Chris, do you have any memories or standouts from this past Saturday?
Well, it's always good. The fall season, you know, we tend to, with the high school season, kids are doing their own thing, and so there's a little bit of separation. And so, and you're working the previous winter, you move into the spring, you're seeing the kids a lot, they're starting to play in more tournaments, and people are going in different directions. So it's a great, it's just special to bring everyone back together again at the end of the season. With the new season, you know, right behind that, and the excitement about the new season. And so I just think how cool it is for the younger kids to be with these top players in the state of Illinois, and to be able to spend time with them and walk down the fairways and share laughs and tell stories and see them hit shots. Like, I know Danny chipped in on the second last hole for Eagle. And I asked young Jack, you know, hey, you know who you played with today, right? And he goes, yeah, I do. And I said, were you paying attention? He said, yeah, very closely. So, perfect. You know, and then Jack will be in that position in a few years, yeah, with the next person coming up. And so, you know, he'll know how special it was to him. And hopefully he'll realize that and give the same experience to the younger person behind him.
It's a really awesome event at our classes this week. The kids who missed out seemed, you know, genuinely disappointed that they weren't there. And the kids that were there were pretty, I don't know, there was a good energy in class this week. And I think maybe that had something to do with it.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, because, you know, when you play golf on a day like that, you really feel, I think, like you've earned something. You know, it's kind of like my dad used to have us in the late fall and the winter always, you know, doing chores, you know, as a family together. And then a lot of times, you know, golfing, you know, together. When you've been out in that air and, you know, you've made it around, you know, it gives you a strong feeling, I think. And, you know, all those kids that showed up, you know, got that. And I like the fact that, you know, if it's true that the kids that didn't make it feel like they might have missed something and might want to do it, I think that's terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so another thing after the tournament, we have an awards ceremony where we give out different awards. Can you describe what those awards are like?
Yeah, so for years I've always thought, you watch the ESPYs and they come up with these awards for these athletes, and it actually has become a big deal. It's turned into a big deal for ESPN. And so I thought we should have the TGP Awards to honor some of the kids who have worked really hard throughout the season, who've had some great achievements, who've overcome some struggle. And not just recognize one player, but sometimes in some categories there's a few. So we do, you know, our player of the year for our female, male, and then we have a most improved award in our TGP award. And so I think those are special for the kids. But also we like to share, you know, a background of why the player won that particular award, so the people there can understand that, you know, you may see somebody showing up to practice, but there's other stuff that's going on with that person, and they're really working really hard or overcoming something or achieving something great. And so to recognize all those players, it's great to have the parents there, too, to be able to hear about their child and the things that they've done.
The award show wasn't televised. It's not streaming on Netflix or anything. I think we should kind of go through it. You know, the awards have been given out, but... You know, let's give the people what they want. They're dying to know who won these awards.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll start with Player of the Year.
Yeah, so 2018, Danny Fisher, a senior at Lake Forest High School, just committed to Miami of Ohio. Danny won this award last year, had a great season, followed it up again with even a more extraordinary season. Different, though, because he had the pressure of college coaches watching him this summer. And so while last year was more of a coming out party, this year he was now the hunted, and And so it's different to compete when you're in that position, and then certainly when coaches are watching. And so so Danny, you know, really started the season off great. In the winter, we went down to Innisbrook M360, our college prep program, and his second and third round, he shot one under each day. Ended up being one shot out of a playoff in a tournament that had some pretty good competition. A lot of academies down in Florida, prep school academies, were represented down there. So that was great to know that the academy from flying down from Chicago placed. And I think that Danny came back and a month later won an MAJGT and followed that up with another MAJGT win. And that really got him kind of on the prowl and recognized by some of these coaches. And so Danny was, you know, following that one up 71 round with, you know, a 3 under 69, and then the next tournament he had a 5 under 66, and I'm sure he was, you know, knew that this is something he could do, but to be able to do it and then be able to play some really solid golf over the summertime with these coaches watching. So Danny had an extraordinary season. He's a great kid to work with and have around here. There's something special about him. And so we're obviously looking forward to seeing what his college career looks like.
Yeah, and we heard more from Danny personally on this podcast a few episodes ago. Pete, we've heard Chris's kind of what their relationship has been like. What have you noticed about Danny as you've kind of, you know, been a part of this academy and seen him maybe more from a distance over these last few years?
Yeah, Danny, you know, comes. Danny is a regular practicer in here, as you would expect, and he's a man of few words. You know, unless you're
on a podcast
with him, and so I've just always been I've been impressed. Whenever I see him, that he is, he always seems to be quietly on a mission. And there seems to be purpose in what he does, and you know, a quiet enjoyment of all of it. You know, he's clearly, I mean, I'm not in the M360 program, you know, very much, but I know what's going on, and I know that Danny has taken the mindfulness training and probably made more of it than anyone that that we've had in it, and I just think that, you know, that speaks to you know, to who he is and how serious he is about it. You know, it's a difficult thing to do. I mean, anybody's ever tried meditation and, you know, tried to rein their mind in, which constantly wants to jump around, and, you know, that's an extraordinary discipline to undertake. But you can see when you look at people like Jordan Spieth and you know, a lot of these now modern day golfing athletes, that this is what's separating these people now. It's not just have you got it or you ain't got it. You know, you can go get it, you know, if you're willing to do the kind of exercise that Danny goes through. And so I'm, as I am of Lexi, I'm just immensely impressed by this young man.
Yeah, the other Player of the Year award winner was Lexi Schulman, someone who you work with closely. Chris, can you talk about what went into that award? What's her season been like? And, you know, other than performance, like, what have you noticed from her?
Yeah, I think a lot like Danny, Lexi had to this year experience being the top player in the state for her age. And I felt that energy at the Player of the Year tournament at Lake Bluff. We were on the putting green the morning of the first round, and it felt awfully lonely for her. You know, she was in the middle of the green, and I was with her, and there was people putting around the perimeter of the green, and you would see these people look over to her. You'd see parents look over. You'd hear whispers like, who's the guy with her, and And I thought, wow, that's, you know, I mean, that's a difficult thing for a 13-year-old to have to deal with, right? I mean, I'm sure she'd rather be social with the other girls, and so so learning to deal with that is new for her. So she played some winter tournaments and struggled a little bit going down south and playing on the different types of grasses. She struggled around the greens, but kind of, you know, hung in there. And I think it helped us realize that we need to have more of an arsenal of shots around the greens for when she plays these golf courses that have maybe more grain or more of a tangly type rough. And so she had a great spring, pretty decent summer, back to the Player of the Year event. She shot 3 over the first round and was tied with another young lady that she plays a lot with in these tournaments. And driving up, I was wondering, you know, I always think long-term with Lexi and the experiences that she's going through and how is that going to strengthen her down the road. I think it's easy to get caught up in the performance of each tournament in front of her, for her and her family. But she's 13 years old, you know, and we know that she wants to play college golf at a high level. And so it's more about what these experiences are preparing her for down the road. And so I actually thought if she lost this tournament, it might actually refocus her in a way that she might have needed at that time. Sometimes it's easy to just feel like you can show up and it's all going to be there. And she was kind of moving in that direction. You know, she was going into eighth grade, so they're spending more time with friends and more sleepovers, and there's more phone time. And so she got away a little bit from the routine that she was in. And so I thought it might, if it didn't work out well, it might refocus everybody. And unfortunately, you know, she played pretty good, and down the stretch, it kind of got away from her. And it was the most emotional I've ever seen her get after a tournament. As her coach, it was really hard to see that. But I got to say, the way she came back from that was unbelievable. She had an amazing fall. She finished runner-up at the elementary state tournament with a 1-under par round. She tied the third lowest score in state history with that round. She had a couple of wins, one at which she went 3-under par in the last round to beat a girl who was a couple years older than her. I think she shot 369 in that tournament to win by a stroke, and then played in an MAJGT with some older girls that are going to be going to college, and she finished second. And so it was just an absolutely amazing fall. And really sort of a turning point. And me and her talked about that tournament, and Peter always says that on the other side of a breakdown is breakthrough when it's handled properly. And I think it's good for our kids to know that that can happen, you know, if you're aware that it can happen and you think through it properly. And so so she was deserving of Player of the Year, just her achievements. I think she had 5 or 6 wins this season, and a load of top 5 finishes out of 15 tournaments. So a very successful year. And I know she's really excited about next season already.
Yeah. I love that story. I just think it says a lot about junior golf, and we recognized Lexi, you know, for her tournament performance, but just as much for the process, you know, that she has undergone and taken on as typified by that story, the research shows that that the top golfers in young age groups are rarely the people who ultimately become really successful golfers in their age groups. And you can kind of know why if you think about it a little bit. You know, those kids that are out there that are at the top have not enough life experience to imagine that life could be any different. And they don't see anybody in front of them. And so they're just out there running, right? Whereas the third and the fourth chair athletes are looking at their backsides and seeing what they want, because there it is. They want to get what that person has. And so, you know, having that, being in that position as Lexi was, I mean, how could you not, you know, let some of those unfocused, overconfident thoughts come into your psyche? And then when you're knocked off your pins, you know, now what? You know, how do you bounce up? And you talk about bouncing up. I mean, that's big time to me. And how you described Lexi's performance in that tournament, that she won by a stroke and came from behind, was, you know, the roles were reversed. Now that other, you know, the girl who had been the leader, you know, was starting to, you know, become fearful and less confident, and Lexi just didn't take her foot off the pedal and just drove the thing all the way home. I mean, that's an experience that I believe will, you know, stay with her forever. And you know, when you look at when you see the kind of effort that she consistently puts in, I mean, here's another person along with Danny who's just tremendously focused when they come in to do their work, and you know, perfectly delightful as a person. And you know, if you'd like to socialize with her, she'd be fine to do that. But she's also fine to be alone and to work her stuff and doesn't get distracted. And sometimes I think that because of how successful she is, other parents and kids, you know, look at her and look at us like, gee, we talk an awful lot about her, but the reason is because she's a wonderful student. It's not because just because she wins hardware. I mean, she typifies what the golf practice aspires to.
You guys have talked a lot in the past few weeks about studentship, about the values of the academy, and how a lot of these winners and a lot of, you know, the people who didn't win but who were here at the Donahue Cup and are a part of our program really display a lot of our values. And so maybe we'll highlight those a little more as we go through the rest of these winners. For most improved, there are 5 winners: Sam, Kaylin, Chloe, Aiden, and Amy.
Yeah, a nice mix of people here. Sam Rogers goes to Lake Forest High School, and he started our M360 program last year, and Sam has really really shown us, you know, how much he wants to improve himself. You know, he's coming in here with Jansen and doing workouts in the evening.
I've seen those workouts. They're tough. So,
yeah, he's fully dedicated to the mindfulness program of M360. He works really hard on his game. He's constantly sending me text messages, asking me questions. He's somebody who's come a long way from where he started. And so I can't wait for next year for him, because he's already started for next year already for these last couple of weeks. Kaylin is a seventh grader from Highland Park, a young man who came to us maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Not a lot of athletic experience, a really bright young person, and, you know, just a delight to be around. And his mother would always ask me how he's doing after classes. She was really serious about, you know, making the next Tiger Woods, and we said, well, he's doing okay, you know, and because he was, right? I mean, you know, he was starting at a certain place and moving from there. And so, but what he's developed, his athleticism for golf, he can get the ball around the course, and now he's one of our stronger junior golfers. And so, you know, he started our travel league shooting mid to high 50s, and now he's, you know, mid to low 40s. And you never would have expected that 4 years ago when you saw him pick up a club and try to make a swing. Chloe started with us when she was 7. She's a freshman at Lake Forest High School, and surprisingly to them, was a huge contributor to their team, their varsity program. And Chloe's someone who really loves to study the mechanics of the golf swing and the strokes. I mean, she is a great practicer, amazing focus. And had some issues with some anxiety playing in tournaments. She just got really worked up and wasn't comfortable and really kind of avoided that for a few years. And so she kind of was thrown into it because of high school golf, and to see her not only play well at tryouts, but be consistently the third player on the team, third, fourth player on the team was phenomenal. So we thought she was deserving the most improved. Aiden is a Highland Park eighth grader who was new to our academy last winter and really, really found a love for the game. Worked really hard, great student, started playing tournaments this season and just kept on knocking out personal best from tournament to tournament to tournament. And so so we think he's going to be a great addition to the Highland Park program, men's team, next year. And then...
Didn't you say he's ranked now?
He is ranked in the state, which he probably doesn't even realize he's ranked in the state, but he was playing in enough tournaments too. And then lastly, Amy. Amy from Winnetka. She's in eighth grade. Amy's been with us a number of years, and last year just took another step in terms of dedication, was coming in here with her dad or on her own to practice, played a boatload of tournaments this year and had some personal best, broke 80 for the first time, had a couple other rounds of 80, 81, and she'll be going to New Trier next year, and they're going to be pleased to have her. Oh. So these kids have been, most of these kids have been with us a while, and it's nice to see the development of them when they've had the consistency and the interest, and with some good guidance from us, they're it's great to see them grow.
Yeah, Kaylin, Chloe, and Amy, are kids that I've seen over the years, and it's interesting to me to. To really think of them in the time, all of them, Amy, like Chloe, like Kaylin, you know, when they were this year have really started to mature physically, and their training now is really starting to bear fruit because they've got strong swings. But to watch them, you know, and to think about even last year, think about, you know, how their swing struggled to be strong. And Amy, in her, you know, solid contact, that could come and go in a dramatic way. But she, is absolutely steadfast, as Kaylin and Chloe and Sam and Aiden have been. But, I especially notice it in those three because I've seen them for years to... If you think that this is a matter of, as we were saying, you either got it or you ain't got it, you're wrong, because all of these people didn't have it and really developed it because of who they are.
Yeah, it's awesome, and that we can recognize them and hear their stories is hopefully inspirational for, you know, the rest of our academy and people who aren't a part of it, right?
Yeah, I would hope so, because it really inspires me. It really does, because I catch myself all the time, and I know, you know, I don't feel so bad about it, because I was listening to TED Talks the other day, and the legendary Coach John Wooden was giving a presentation, and Wooden always believed he said, even from the time he was teaching English in Indiana, he realized that, some kids get A's and B's, and other kids get C's. And parents didn't like it when their kids got C's. It was okay if other kids got C's, but not their kids. And he said, I realized that I needed to come up with my own standard, you know, for achievement. And to paraphrase it, it was like, what can you make out of yourself? You know, not everybody is 7 feet tall. Not everybody can run the 100-yard dash and, you know, 9 flat or whatever the world record is. But what can you make out of yourself? And I think that, you know, that's the wonderful thing about golf. And I think that, you know, when I looked at these kids, if you would have said, Pete, I want your honest evaluation. You know, do you think they're going to become, you know, varsity golfers or good enough to break 80 or whatever? I would have said, I don't think so. And that's what Wooden said about guys on his team. And it, when he gets to the end of that presentation and he picks out two guys who he said made the most out of themselves and he was most proud of, you have never heard of either of these guys. Because, and he said, when I first saw them as freshmen, he said, I never imagined. He said, if those guys make varsity or contribute to our varsity, there must be something wrong with our team. But he proudly tells the story of how each one of these guys made themselves something, that they were major contributors to the success of one of the legendary basketball teams, you know, in the history of college sports. So that's the way I feel about these guys. They really surprised me, and I'm so proud of them.
Our final category is the TGP Award.
Well, I think to take off, really, on what I was just saying, it's like, you know, do you have, who are you, you know, as a golfer and as a student of the game? In golf, you know, we those of us that love the game extol the values that are inherent in the game, the sportsmanship, the honesty and the integrity, you know, the judgment, the discipline, the perseverance, you know, all of those things. And what are you willing to make out of yourself? You know, and it takes a great deal of patience and optimism to really make something out of yourself. I mean, I think a lot of times people mistakenly think about high achievers as being tortured or grimly disciplined, you know, that they do it because, you know, they have to. And a lot of people have followed that path. I would say that when I was a youth, that was my model. But that doesn't have a lot of fuel to it. You know, it's a very brittle way of being. It ends up, you know, becoming a dry hole, really. And it's amazing, you know, when you consider, when I've watched Sydney and I've watched Logan work. At times I've thought, man, there's a mountain to climb there. I wonder, you know, how someone would keep at it, you know, cheerfully, you know, the way they do. You know, there have been times when I watched them swing and hit the shank of the club and thought, man, that's a tough thing to live through. And yet it doesn't. These guys have just kept on taking it one step at a time. And you know, it really is something to see. When you're around that, you know, you can't help but be moved by it.
Yeah, and I'll add to it, both of those players, Sydney and Logan, all our coaches love being around them. I mean, it's just, you know, because they enjoy the game so much. Logan is so into golf and getting better, and they both add to the energy and are an asset to the program when they're involved, you know, and that was one of the things that we thought were important, and that's why, you know, we thought of having this award.
Yeah, I was with Logan all spring, all summer, all winter at Canal Shores in Evanston, and sometimes you know, Canal Shores feels like the ugly stepchild of golf courses in the area. You know, it's not very, it's not as nice as other courses, you know, compared to our other facilities that we're at Canal Shores. We kind of, me and Coach Mike and Pete, kind of, it kind of took on its identity this summer. And there's another podcast, golf podcast host I like named Eric Lang, and he says that we don't play golf because we care about grass or how the grass is cut. And I think Canal Shores has that as part of it, because we're just there to play golf and be with each other and have a good time. And I think Logan, more than anyone else all summer, just like that was him. He was just there every single day, ready to go, just so excited to play golf and to be there. Whereas other kids, I mean, there's other people who drive far away so they don't have to go to Canal Shores, but Logan, it didn't matter to him, and he was there and he was ready to go, and he really got a lot better.
Yeah.
Certainly did.
He did.
He hit it on hole 16 at Canal. He hit it over the canal for the first time. Got it on video. I mean, it's quite a moment. You know,
he'll never forget
over
that.
A canal that you can't, you know, over water that you could otherwise couldn't hit over is a big moment in Absolutely. One's life.
You know, yeah. I really do think, you know, you talk about Canal. I really feel like that golf course offers those kinds of wonderful challenges that other golf courses might not. So anyway, I like it. You know, there's one other person that I want to personally talk about, because to me, she is all of these things that we've talked about. But Isabella Martino, to me, is the John Wooden. You know, if I were going to give an award for what somebody made out of themselves, she would get it. Because, you know, I think that, you know, when you talk about creating yourself, you know, she actually, as a exercise in M360, I think, had to, you know, really express a goal about what she wanted to be. And, you know, as I remember you telling me about it, and Chris, and you can really expand on it, but what I remember is that she wanted to, among the things, she wanted to be that person that was on that, was countable as a teammate and you know, and her golf goals, whatever they might be. But physically, to see how she sculpted herself out of what she was, you know, and her move going through the ball, I mean, to me, that speaks volumes, because I never thought she'd change that kind of hunched shoulder and head move that she'd make going through the ball. And because I'd seen so many other people that, you know, recruited those muscles and just never could seem to not move that way. But that, to me, you know, as somebody just standing on the outside looking in, the way that her swing has come around, the way she can hit the golf ball, that is something. The way she contributes and the way the energy that she brings to practice sessions and to our academy as she assists us in you know, our Junior Essentials classes. I mean, you know, this is a valuable person.
Yeah, I agree. Isabella came to us going into her freshman year, and her dad, you know, her dad was a golfer, and mom played golf, and so it was something they would do as a family. And and to hear her last year say, you know, I'm also interested in being the leader of my team. We wish some of other of our students would say that about what they would like to be as part of their program in our high school program, because a lot of those teams need that leadership. And so to sit down with her at the end of the season and talk about her high school season and hear how, you know, she really was that consistent force on her team. And I, you know, we lose sight of what they're doing from all their matches. But when we sat down and she went score by score, you know, she was really darn consistent. And what she's done for herself, Peter, yeah, it's extraordinary. I know she's on the fence right now of is she going to play college golf or not. I've always thought that Isabella is really close to breaking through a huge golf barrier, because her ball striking is pretty darn good, and she continues to work on her short game, especially her short putts, and she's going to conquer it. And if she does decide to play college golf, you know, she's going to just keep getting, you know, better.
Great. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up. Congratulations to all of the winners, everyone who, just congrats to everyone as part of our academy and who's really made the golf practice into what it is. Because really, without the students, there's no academy, right? There's just us in the closet talking about ideas. But it's really the students that make us look good, I would say. And so congrats to all of them.
Amen.
Yep. Pete and Chris, thanks. We'll talk to you next time.
Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes. Oh, my goodness.